So as I say, this is part five of this series, Knowing the Good News. What we're doing is we're just walking through the basics of the gospel, the good news. And we've been sort of following Paul's presentation of the good news, which we get in the first eight chapters of the book of Romans. So very, very quickly, what we've done so far is we've talked about what the gospel is. The gospel, it is a message from God. It comes from God himself, and it is a message about his son, and it concerns salvation. That's what the gospel, the good news, essentially is. A message from God about his son that concerns salvation, deliverance for sinners. And we thought in part two, we thought about why we need this good news. And that made us confront the issue of sin. We thought about what sin actually is, what it has done to us, what it has produced within us in our lives. We thought about who it is who is guilty of sin. And we also faced the harsh truth of what will happen to us if we remain in our sin. But then in the third session, we came to the very heart of the good news itself. We came to think about what God has done for us in Christ. And that took us to that wonderful passage in Romans, at the end of Romans chapter 3, a very dense passage, but just so marvelous, because it takes us into Christ's atoning work. That is, his bringing together of God and man, God dealing with our sin in such a way that at all times he remains utterly true to his own justice and holiness and righteousness, but also is true to his love and mercy and grace. And we see that in Christ, God can be both just and the one who justifies the sinner who believes in Jesus. And then last time, in part four, we really drilled down into how it is that we enter into the good of the good news. How does it become personal? And we saw that the scriptures are so clear that it is by faith in Christ, not by good works. And that this saving faith is a faith that is permeated with repentance, with taking ownership of our sin, our sinfulness before God, and this genuine willingness within us to be finished with our sin and to be freed from it. That's how we come to God. That's how we step into salvation. So we've come now to part five, and it's marvelous stuff because we're going to be thinking about what happens when we believe the good news. And for that, we're going to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. See if you want to find that. Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Sinners are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We do not earn our salvation, but simply receive it as a gift from God when we repent of our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens when we do this? What difference does salvation make? In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us some of the great blessings that are given to those who believe the good news and who put their faith in Christ. I'm going to share with you tonight five of them. And remember, the point of these studies is so that we'll understand the gospel clearly, but also so that we will be able to communicate the gospel clearly. These are designed to be gospel workshops. So we'll be looking at some important verses that really drill down into these great truths. So five truths we're going to think about very briefly and simply. Here's the first one. What happens when we believe the good news? We are forgiven our sin. Paul says it in verse 1. To be justified means to be declared righteous in God's sight. By trusting in Jesus, our sin is no longer counted against us. Instead, God's righteousness is counted for us. It is received as a free gift from God through Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul comes to Romans 8, that magnificent chapter, he begins with this statement that every Christian can write over their life, write over themselves. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's what God says to the sinner who believes the good news. No condemnation. And when we believe the good news, we practically then enter into the joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven. We do not carry around with us any longer the guilt of our sins. We rejoice in the freedom of forgiveness, knowing that it has been won for us through Christ's death and resurrection. We have a Savior. And we understand that our forgiveness does not depend on us, but on Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It's wonderful. Paul writes in Colossians 1, 13 to 14, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Your forgiveness, Christian, is in Christ. And it's through you being in Christ. And some of the most wonderful verses, again, later in Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," that means in your unregenerate nature, "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness." What a mouthful. Think of it like this. Having taken your rap sheet, God's ledger of all your offenses, having taken it that stood against us and condemned it, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Think of all your sin, your crimes against God. Think of that rap sheet. And as you see Christ on that cross, know that your sin is nailed there too. And it has been dealt with. As Christians, we are sure that God will always keep his promise to his people. Here is his new covenant promise, folks. Hebrews 10, 17. "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And when Scripture talks about God remembering, what it means is God calling up something before him with a view to action. That's what it means to remember. And God is saying that he will never remember our sin. He will never bring it up before him to be dealt with, because it's been dealt with. What happens when we believe the good news? Number one, we are forgiven our sin. Number two, we are reconciled to God. Paul again in verse 1, "All who are justified by faith, declared righteous before God by faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. We were at war with God, but he has made reconciliation, a bringing together through the cross of Christ. Our broken relationship with God through sin is fixed, because the sin which kept us apart has been dealt with. When we believe the good news, we personally step into and enjoy this restored, repaired relationship. We are no longer God's enemies. We are now his friends. There's two key passages in the New Testament, both written by Paul, that describe this work of reconciliation between a holy God and sinners. And I'm just going to read them to you now. You might want to note them. The first is in Colossians 1, verse 19 to 23. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that is in Jesus Christ, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Now listen to this. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, in your thinking, because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 19. Listen to the reconcile word group in what Paul writes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. All who trust in Christ have peace with God and know the joy of reconciliation. We rejoice in our new relationship with God and enjoy his friendship every day. Our life becomes one of worship and rejoicing in the God of our salvation. With thankfulness in our hearts, we serve the Lord and share his message of reconciliation, the good news, with others. Reconciliation, God's work of reconciliation in Christ, brings us to his very heart. That's why Paul concludes Romans 5, verse 11, as he outlines all these different blessings. He tells us in verse 11, not only is this so, but we also boast, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our sins are forgiven. We are reconciled to God and know his friendship and what it is now to belong and have him as our heavenly Father. Salvation is a warm thing. It's not just some, oh, I know coldly, I know sin has been dealt with. No, that forgiveness draws us to the heart of God himself, and his people rejoice in him through Christ their Savior. Three, we are given new life. We are forgiven our sin. We are reconciled to God. We are given new life. Christians enjoy a secure and unchanging relationship with God. It is a relationship that is based on grace. That is his undeserved goodness towards us. And the apostle tells us that it is, in Romans 5, verse 2, it is through faith in Christ that we gain access, entry into this grace in which we now stand. That's a lovely word. Remember, look, Old Testament, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, who would stand? How could a sinner ever stand before God? Well, there's only one way, if he stands in the grace of Christ. And that's what Paul is telling us here. This, because we stand in God's grace in this new life in Christ, we are always accepted by God. And we are always welcome in his presence. It is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Sometimes people think that by becoming a Christian, we are making a new start in life. And this is true in so far as it goes. But the Bible teaches there is so much more to becoming a Christian than that. When we believe the good news, we get a completely new life. We receive eternal life. This does not simply mean that we will go on living forever. It means that we know God now, and already we enjoy a personal relationship with God. And there will never come a time when this intimate, personal, secure relationship with God will ever end. That's what eternal life is. Jesus said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, John 3:36. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God abides on him. And of course, the Lord Jesus in John 17, verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what this new life is that a Christian have. It's eternal life. It's sharing fellowship, relationship with God that's unending. This new life is one in which the reign, that is the ruling power of sin and death, has been replaced by the reign of life and grace. We didn't read the rest of Romans chapter 5, but listen to Romans 5, 17. What a magnificent verse this is. For if by the trespass of one man, that is the sin of Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ? In this new life that we have in Christ, Christians are saved, sustained, and transformed by God's grace. We know that God is with us at all times, comforting us and supporting us as he leads us to heaven, where we will enter into the fullness of this eternal life that we already enjoy. Even in times of suffering, says Paul, Christians find hope and peace and strength in their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are forgiven our sin. We are reconciled to God. We are given new life. Number four, we are sure of heaven. As sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And our sin would keep us from God's presence forever. But when we believe the good news, we are justified before God and we're reconciled to him. And now, even in this world, we are welcome into God's presence at any time through prayer. But as believers, we know there is something even greater for us in the future. Because Paul says in Romans 5, verse 2, we rejoice in the hope, that is, the certain expectation of the glory of God. That we all fell short of in our sin, that which we could never attain by ourselves because of our sin, we now rejoice in certain expectation of the glory of God. That means that we can be absolutely sure that we will personally see and enter into God's amazing, glorious presence. Our Christian hope is that we are certain to enter into God's presence and to be glorified, to be made perfect like Jesus, to share his glory. This will happen when Jesus comes again and takes us to heaven. Listen to these statements from Scripture, and may the Holy Spirit warm your heart. John 14, verse 2 to 3, Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." John 17, verse 24, Christ prays on the eve of his crucifixion, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Philippians 3, 20 and 21, Paul writes, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." 1 John 3, verse 2, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." As Christians, we are as sure of heaven as if we were already there. We may have to pass through much suffering in this life, but our glorious future is certain because of all that Jesus has done for us. Number five, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised his people that after he returned to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit to indwell, to live within his people. And this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Everyone who believes the good news receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, that supreme new covenant blessing. And in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that it is the Holy Spirit living in us who pours God's love into our hearts. The Spirit does this by revealing Christ to us. That's how you receive God's love. You see Christ. Because we know that God loves us, says Paul, because Jesus died for us when we were ungodly, verse 6. When we were still sinners, verse 8. When we were enemies of God, verse 10. That's when God loved you. That's when Christ died for you. When you were as unlovely as you could be. And as we see Christ, as the Holy Spirit shows us Christ, the love of God is poured into our hearts. It is through the presence and work of the Holy Spirit that the love of God fills the believer. And it is the Holy Spirit living in us who assures us that we are members of God's own family. Romans 8, 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The indwelling Spirit does that. The indwelling Spirit, indeed, is the evidence, the proof that we belong to God and will be His forever. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Paul writes, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." It is the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, who gives us the power to live a life that pleases God. We'll be looking at that next time. Galatians 6. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." There's five blessings. There's what happens when you believe the good news. You step into this. These blessings are yours in Christ as someone who believes the good news. But let me just finish with this little word. An important difference that Christians must observe, and it's the difference between the now and the not yet of God's salvation. The now and the not yet. We have been thinking tonight about some of the great blessings that are given by God to all who believe the good news. They're given to everyone without exception, and they are received the very moment that we trust in Christ. All believers, without exception, have their sins forgiven, become friends with God, enjoy eternal life, are promised a home in heaven, and have the Holy Spirit living within them. But we must understand that there are some blessings that will only be received when Jesus returns. That is when all of what God has promised finally happens. It is not true that God has promised that His people will enjoy both health and wealth in this life. That is a perversion of the good news. Without doubt, all who know Christ as their Savior will be free of sickness and death, and they will rule with Christ in the glory of the new heaven and the new earth. But those blessings are not promised to us now. They will come when Christ returns, and we must be ready to wait until then to receive them. And for now, as people who've had their sins forgiven, who are reconciled to God, who have got new life, who are sure of being with Him in heaven, and who have the Spirit dwelling in them, for now, we must obey Jesus' call in this world to take up our cross and follow Him, because the way of the cross is the way to glory. Amen.